Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Inner Court. This is probably the busiest time of the year here in the office. We are in the countdown to the Holy Days, and there is still much work to be done. Since this will be my last Inner Court prior to the Holy Days, I want to share my schedule with all of you. Sharon and I will leave next week for Santiago, Chile, where we will attend services on the Feast of Trumpets, Thursday, October 3rd. On the Sabbath after trumpets, we will travel to South Chile, to Temuco, where I will conduct a Bible study for the youth in the morning and a sermon for everyone in the afternoon. We return to Santiago on Sunday and then fly back to Dallas on Monday, October the 7th. After an overnight flight, I will be back in the office on Wednesday, October the 9th. So because of our travel schedule during the feast, we're planning to remain in Dallas for the Day of Atonement and then fly to Tucson for the first half of the feast, returning to Dallas midway through the feast, and then flying to Santa Marta, Colombia. Unfortunately, we will miss a day of the feast, not arriving in Santa Marta until Monday, October 21st. There is just no easy way to get from Tucson to Bogota and then on to Santa Marta in less than a full day. And then we'll be in Colombia for the remainder of the feast, returning through Panama. This is a country that we have never visited, so we plan to take a few days to enjoy the sights before returning home and back to work. Our plan is to be back in the office later during the week after the feast. Our journey for the feast will take us away from home for a full 2 weeks. Normally, we are back at work in the office within a few days of the feast, but with the last great day on Thursday, we'll be taking most of a week off before returning home. I wanted to make a few comments about the upcoming Holy Days to everyone. Mr. Taylor referred to these days and their significance last week on Inner Court. Since this will be my last Inner Court prior to the feast, I also wanted to say a few things about these days that are coming very, very soon. Let me begin by making a statement that I believe we all agree with. In our Christian lives, there is nothing that compares with the observance of the seven annual festivals, both in their meaning and with the joy associated with their observance. Now, when you look at the seven annual festivals, Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day, you see a perfect plan established by God to offer salvation to every human being. A number of years ago, I met with the president of the Church of God Seventh Day. He and I had an interesting discussion on the differences between our groups. He explained to me that they, the Church of God Seventh Day, did not believe in a second chance. He explained that they believed that this life was the one and only opportunity for salvation for all mankind. I explained that he had a misunderstanding of our belief. We do not believe in a second chance for anyone, but we believe in a first chance for everyone. The Holy Days lay out this plan each year. The Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, and Pentecost focus on the first fruits, those being called and converted now during this lifetime. The Feast of Trumpets is the fourth Holy Day and the flex point in God's plan. After the first resurrection of the saints and first fruits, which occurs when Christ returns to this earth, the focus for salvation now goes to everyone else. Those who are alive and who will live into the millennium will be the first group to be taught God's way of life and given an opportunity to repent and be saved. But before that can get started, the removal of Satan as an influence in the world must occur. Satan will go from being the god of this world to being bound for 1,000 years, unable to impact the lives of human beings. What an amazing moment in human history. It will be the first time since the creation of man that Satan hasn't been around to influence the way we think and the way we act. What a different world it will be when the millennium begins. And the Feast of Tabernacles pictures this millennial reign. Satan is then released after the 1,000 years for a short while before he is cast into the lake of fire and then finally banned to outer darkness for all eternity. The eighth day follows the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, it's easy to blend the two together, but the symbolism is quite different. The eighth day, the last great day, is the time of final judgment. This will be the completion of God's plan with the physical resurrection of every human being who lived and died during the approximately 6,000 years of human history. Satan will be gone. These individuals will have an opportunity to see two very different worlds, the one they experienced in this lifetime and the one that will exist after the millennium in what Christ has called the Great White Throne Judgment. There will be two resurrections, those who've never known God or His way of life and those who know Him or knew Him and rejected Him. The former is a resurrection to an opportunity for salvation, and the latter to damnation and death. This brings us to the end of the final judgment. I'm excited about celebrating these final four holy days one more time. In my lifetime, I've gone from observing the festivals at home for several years when we had no church to attend to attending multiple sites around the world over a period of more than 60 years. I can assure all of you that the best feasts are those you're able to spend with friends and family. And there are so many memories from all these years. Each feast is special. Make this year's feast special and unique. Serve in some capacity and encourage your brethren. For many, this has been a very difficult year with serious trials. It is up to us to provide the much-needed encouragement. Now for the remainder of my time here on In Accord, I'd like to take you into the Foundation Institute classroom and talk about a class that I have taught for more than 20 years, the fundamental beliefs of the Church of God. First, a little background I believe will be important. In 1999, I was asked to teach a class on the fundamental beliefs of the Church. I was specifically asked to cover the 20 fundamental beliefs that had been officially adopted by the Church in 1995. I was actually one of several individuals that wrote up those beliefs for approval by the elders in December of 1995. In the nearly 20 years of classes, or more than 20 years of classes, I've taught only 10 of the beliefs in the first few years, and Mr. Leon Walker taught the other 10. And after a few years of this arrangement, I began teaching all 20. But then I asked Dr. Tom Kirkpatrick, who had served as treasurer of the church and is currently a retired church pastor, to teach three of the classes. But in the past few years, I have been teaching all 20. It is a great joy for me to teach these classes. In 1995, after a major crisis in the church, we adopted the 20 fundamental beliefs. Keep in mind that these are not all the beliefs of the church, but the most basic and fundamental ones. When these beliefs were adopted in 1995, the statement was made, "If your doctrines are not correct, then nothing else matters." In order to identify the true church, your doctrines must be bound in truth. There was another part to that statement. If you do not follow your doctrines, then nothing else matters. In other words, not only do you believe them and accept them, but you also obey them. Each year after the eighth day of the feast, the Jews are encouraged to begin a year-long reading program with the goal of reading through the Torah over the next year, ending with the next Feast of Tabernacles. They consider it extremely important that everyone in the Jewish faith is knowledgeable of the words of the Torah by which they should be living. In a similar way, I want to encourage all of us to review the 20 fundamental beliefs on a regular basis. Now, you can do this through our booklet on the subject or by watching previous Foundation Institute online classes that are currently posted. Either way, an annual review is important for us to make sure we are knowledgeable of what we believe and teach. To help you with that project, let me list these 20 beliefs for you today and make a few comments about each one. First, there is the Godhead. Is God one being, two beings, or three beings? We do not accept the doctrine of the Trinity, but we do believe that there are two beings in the Godhead who have eternally existed: God the Father and the Word, who became Jesus Christ. Number two, the Word of God. We believe that the Bible is infallible in its original form. Sadly, we don't have any original manuscripts of the Bible, but it is our belief that we do currently have a book, the Bible, that is the inspired Word of God. Number three, Satan and the spirit world. We believe that Satan is a real being and is called the god of this world. We believe that demons and angels exist as well. Number four, humanity. What is man? Does man have an immortal soul that goes to heaven or hell when he dies? We do not accept that teaching, or we do not accept the teaching that you have an immortal soul. Number five, sin and God's law. We believe that sin is defined as missing the mark, therefore breaking God's law. Number six, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We believe that Christ, as God in the flesh, came to earth and died for our sins, making salvation possible. Number seven, 3 days and three nights. Scripture tells us that the only sign Christ would give to prove he was the Messiah was that he would be in the tomb for a full 3 days and three nights, not parts of days and nights. Number eight, repentance. The process for salvation begins with repentance, a true change of a person from the inside out. Number nine, water baptism. After repentance, one is baptized by immersion in water for the forgiveness of sin. Number 10, the Sabbath day. The seventh day Sabbath is an important part of our beliefs. Number 11, the Passover. This is a special festival in which we commemorate the death of Jesus Christ each year on the evening of the 14th day of Nisan, or Abib, as it is also called. Number 12, the festivals of God. Including Passover, there are seven annual festivals. Taken together, these days picture the complete plan of salvation. Number 13, God's food laws. While some would consider this one of the minor laws, the Bible does refer to this as the law of the clean and unclean. And God's laws should all be obeyed, even if we consider some of them of lesser importance. Number 14, military service and war. As a Christian, we are opposed to killing another human being. Therefore, we are opposed to military service. Number 15, the church. We believe the church is a spiritual organism, and although organized, it isn't limited to one organization. Number 16, tithing. We believe that 10% of our income belongs to God. A second 10% is for the festivals, and another 10% in a third year is for the poor and needy. This third tithe is fulfilled in most modern nations through a welfare tax or a social security tax. Number 17, God's purpose for humanity. We believe that the future of man is to be in God's family. This is the incredible human potential spoken of in Scripture. Number 18, promises to Abraham. God promised Abraham that his descendants would be blessed. In our modern world, we believe the recipients of those blessings are the United Kingdom and the United States. We believe these two countries are the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph. Number 19, the resurrections. We believe that God's plan includes three distinct resurrections, one to eternal life, one to a physical life for judgment, and one to a physical life condemned to the lake of fire. Number 20, the return of Jesus Christ. The central focus of Scripture is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to be followed by His return to this earth. Now, these 20 fundamental beliefs are based on our understanding of Scripture. It is a fundamental principle accepted by the church that we must base all our beliefs on the Scriptures. I'd like to turn to one scripture before concluding. It is found in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must be true students of the Bible and always study. We need to be especially knowledgeable when it comes to our fundamental beliefs. Well, that will do it from here for now. Please have a peaceful and fulfilling Sabbath day, and I will see you again after the feast. Next week, Clyde Kylo, the Operation Manager for Media, will be your host. And please, please have a wonderful feast, which I hope will be your best ever. Until next time, goodbye for now.